Hello, everybody. I'm a little lady. And after this episode, you're going to say yikes forever.
Welcome to Press Any Button. I'm Eric.
And I'm Nikki.
And today we're talking about Little Miss Fortune. Little Miss Fortune is a 2019 adventure game developed and published by the independent Swedish studio Kill Monday Games. The game revolves around the titular character Miss Fortune, who, guided by a voice in her head, seeks the prize of eternal happiness for her mother. Spoiler warning. This game is an interactive story, and we will be spoiling that story in this episode. Also, yep. There is a content warning. This game contains depictions of suicide, child neglect, death, and drug use, and we will be probably talking about some of that in this episode.
Yeah, briefly. Not too hardcore. All right. Well, Eric, you ready to get into it?
I'm ready for you to tell me what happens.
All right, let's do it. So, Eric, you know what holiday is coming up?
Thanksgiving. Christmas.
Okay, we're in October.
Yeah.
Okay.
Christmas.
Okay, one of our best friends has their birthday on this holiday.
Christmas. Is it Halloween?
Yeah, Halloween. So, I wanted to pick something kind of creepy. It's not really horror, but I definitely think it has, like, Halloween-y vibes.
Yeah, I was getting the creepy vibes from this game.
Yeah. So, I couldn't find a whole lot of history on this game, but I did find some stuff. So, I want to start, actually, by talking a little bit about Kill Monday Games.
Okay.
Because that's who made this game, and they are kind of a cool story. So, Kill Monday Games is a Swedish studio that made Little Miss Fortune, obviously.
Is that what Little Miss Fortune's accent is? Is her accent Swedish? Because I have not been able to figure it out this whole time.
Well,
are you going to get into that later?
Let me keep going, and then you'll find out, maybe.
All right.
But anyways, Kill Monday Games was founded in 2012 by a married duo, Natalia and Isaac Martinson. They actually had two regular jobs, like producing commercials and films and stuff like that during the day when they started or got the idea to start the studio. And so they were basically working on video game stuff in their free time when they weren't doing their full-time job.
Oh,
and
dang.
So every Monday, obviously, they would be up all weekend working on making stuff. So every Monday was like the worst.
Oh, God.
And so that's how they came up with the name for Kill Monday Games. So I thought that was funny. It's your typical, like, case of the Mondays. And they were like, we hate Mondays so bad, we're going to name our studio after that.
Yeah, I can imagine. That would be horrible. Working like a full job on top of your regular job, pretty much.
Yeah, oh my gosh. But, you know, they got the passion, so they started the studio. And from what I gather, Natalia is more involved with writing the story, creating the characters. She handles a lot of the art, like art director sort of situation. And Isaac does more of the programming, and he writes all the music for the games.
Gotcha. Okay.
So together, they are like a power duo. Like, so, pretty cool.
Yeah, that's cool. Together, they can, like, pump out some games.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So their first game is called Fran Bo. And I want to mention that because it takes place in the same universe as Little Miss Fortune.
Okay.
And if you look at the artwork from Fran Bo, you can see that it's the same style of artwork, and it's a 2D, really cool, unique, kind of like creepy style.
Do you know,
they sort of match.
Do you know if it's the same exact artist they use?
It is.
Okay.
And, well, not the same. They have more than one artist, but again, Natalia, she is in charge of the art.
Gotcha.
So,
oh, yeah. Same. That makes sense. Same art director.
Yeah, exactly. So, actually, in Little Miss Fortune, you can see certain things from Frambo, like certain creatures and stuff, carry over. So if you've played that game before, this game will seem familiar.
Oh, so we're probably missing a whole bunch of like inside jokes and like inside story stuff that we probably would have already known.
I don't know if it's not that connected.
Okay.
But I'll go more in detail about that a little bit later when we get to the fun facts.
Cool.
So, in 2017, Kill Monday Games revealed they were working on a secret project. This is after Frambo came out, and they were working on another game about a cat. But that game was on pause for whatever reason, and actually it never, from what I can see, that game never got made. But while they were apparently working on that game, they leaked that they were working on a secret project game. So that was 2017. And then in 2018, they revealed that that secret project game was Little Miss Fortune.
Gotcha. So wait, they scrapped a game about a cat?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, I don't know if they scrapped it. It's just, it hasn't come out yet.
Oh, gotcha. So, maybe they had bigger, bolder plans for it.
And I can't find anything else about it. So I don't know. Maybe it's in like Purgatory, Game Purgatory or something. But so far it's not out there. But yeah, so Little Miss Fortune was the secret project. And
so it was like a side project that overtook the main project that they were working on.
Yeah, I guess so. Who knows? Maybe they had some issues with the other game and this game, you know how things go.
Yeah, I do.
So for Little Miss Fortune, Kill Monday Games collaborates with a production company called Leela Seister for the 2D animated cutscenes and for like the voice recording, like the technology of it.
What's special?
Like they didn't use them for the voice actors or anything, but just like to go into the studio and record the voice lines, I guess. Like they helped with that too.
Okay, I gotcha.
And then on September 18th, 2019, Little Miss Fortune was released on PC. And then in February 2020, it was released for mobile, which I thought was interesting because it was released on PC and then mobile. And then May 2020 is when it was released on the consoles.
Huh. Okay. Yeah.
And I didn't even know that this game was on mobile until now, until like I was doing research for this.
So for like iOS and Android and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, so I thought that was cool, but that's all I've got for the game.
Yeah, usually
history.
Usually it's the other way around, right? So yeah, maybe PC first and then like consoles, or either the other way around. And then at last is usually the bottom of the heap is like cell phones, I feel
And like, I guess, I don't know, a lot of games probably aren't as easily transferable to all three as this one.
That's
true. It is more of like an interactive story game and not something that probably takes a lot of like, what is it, RAM or whatever.
It doesn't require the latest graphics card to run this
exactly
game.
And so yeah, that's what I got. Are you ready for some fun facts though?
Yeah, hit me with those fun facts.
All right, are you ready to say yikes forever? So Natalia, you know, the Natalia that I've been talking about, who's one of the co-founders of Kill Monday Games, she does the voice of Little Miss Fortune.
Okay.
Yeah. So I thought that was cool.
Is it like her, like, is this just the way she talks or is she doing like an accent? Sorry.
I'm pretty sure. Well, I haven't heard her actual voice, but I'm pretty sure it's a character.
Yeah.
I don't think she talks like an 8-year-old child. Well, no, regular.
I mean, with the accent part.
You're like super concerned about this accent.
I just want to know. I can't place it. I don't know where it's from.
I think they're just trying to make it ambiguous. So
that could be true.
Don't worry about it too much. All right. Fun fact number two. So the fictional characters of Kill Monday Games are settled in a shared universe known as the Ultra Reality. So this consists of five realities, which together constitute FREE, which are five realms of essential existence. Okay.
You already lost me.
So I'm assuming what their goal is with their games is hopefully to complete this five realms of essential existence story. So anyways, that's why Franbo and Little Miss Fortune take place in the same universe, but they're not like that. I don't think they're super duper connected because from what I read, Little Miss Fortune takes place 5 years into the future from Franbo.
I'm confused. It's the same dimension or different dimensions?
Okay, so
within the same ultimate reality.
Okay, so there's five realities.
Yes. And are they different realities or are they the same reality?
Okay. Well, if they were the same, they would just be called one realities, right? So they have to be different, right?
Yeah, so these are different realities.
Yes, five realities.
But the same universe.
Which together constitute the five realms of essential existence. Okay?
All right.
And in the game Little Miss Fortune, an additional realm was introduced known as the Beyond. So, you know, at the end when you go to the Beyond, you know, and you cross through that portal, the Benjamin.
Yeah, and so that's a reality too?
That's one of the five realities.
One of the five.
And I'm guessing one of the other ones was in Franbo.
Gotcha.
We haven't played that game yet, so I'm not...
We can only speculate what that reality is.
Yes. But anyways, I'm guessing that hopefully they're going to try to continue with this theme and like eventually have a game for like all five realities, right? That seems like that would be the goal.
I feel like this is coming together in a multiverse type scenario where they draw in characters from each of the different realities.
Oh, see?
Like maybe? Like Avengers style.
I mean, that does make a lot of money. So maybe it's not a bad idea. Yeah. Anyways, moving on.
Okay.
So my last fun fact. Fun fact number three. But first I want to ask you, what year do you think this game took place in?
Is it 1993?
How did you know?
You were asking me about a date earlier and it had the date 1993 in it.
Oh, okay. Cheater.
Well, you were specifically asking me about how to interpret it and it had 1993 in
it. Okay, but like when you were playing the game, what year did you think it took place in?
I had no idea. I would probably say like 2000s, but yeah. Now I'm going to say 90s now. I'm going to revise my answer.
All right. Well, you're a cheater pumpkin eater. But yeah, there is a scene where Miss Fortune, her name's not actually Little Miss Fortune.
What?
It's just Miss Fortune.
Is that a bonus fun fact?
Well, her whole name is Miss Fortune Ramirez Hernandez, which does not sound Swedish at all, which is where the game takes place, is in Sweden.
Okay. Well, I mean, she could have immigrated to Sweden.
Maybe.
Her family did.
Maybe. But anyways, there's a scene where she looks at a newspaper and the date on it does say 1993. So,
which scene specifically is that? Do you know?
Okay, it's like when you've gotten to the city and you've seen like some of those posters for the missing kids, and then you see the newspaper about there's like a fire on the front page.
Oh, yeah.
And then it also talks about all these kids missing and everything like
that.
Yeah,
I think I remember that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so in the top right hand corner of the newspaper, you know, like where you would normally find the date, it says 1993. So that's all I've got for the history part. But the story is kind of the main component to this game. So do you want to talk about the story?
I do want to talk about the story. Before we talk about the story, I want to ask you, I know you kind of said you wouldn't call this necessarily a horror game. Like, what would you call it? What genre do you think it falls
Maybe in? Like a psychological story?
A psychological game.
Well, maybe more psychological horror, because it's like plays on your fears and things like that, but it's not necessarily super gory or like actually showing people dying or anything.
Yeah, and doesn't really have too many jump scares or anything. It has a few, but not too bad.
Really? Where I can't even really remember any jump scares.
Thinking about like the train when she's coming back.
Yeah, with her friend Yiro.
Yeah.
Ghost friend.
And kind of at the end, there it gets a little bit jumpy. But not like I said, not too bad. It's not really trying to go that route.
Yeah. So, Eric, what would you categorize it as?
I would categorize it as unsettling.
Okay.
Yeah, like
that's fair.
All the adults are wearing these weird, creepy masks.
Not every single adult, but almost all of them. I did notice one bus driver in one scene that was not wearing a mask. And I was like, huh, I wonder why that bus driver's not wearing a mask.
I wonder what his story is. Maybe he's going to connect all the realities.
Maybe.
But yeah, it also has a lot of like weird humor, like the duck smoking a blunt who dances randomly.
Mm-hmm.
Or the weird hamster strippers or the cow pooping on the other cow.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I would call it like a mix of unsettling horror and humor.
Yeah, that's why I went
Fart humor.
That's why I went psychological horror /
fart humor.
I don't know. Yeah, there's a few fart jokes, but it's not that much. Anyways, let's talk about the story.
Okay.
So as I just said in fun fact number 3, it takes place in 1993.
Wow.
Wow, so long ago.
Yeah, so right off the bat, before we even meet Miss Fortune, the narrator makes this bold proclamation that today is the day Miss Fortune will die.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, right off the bat, something's going to kill her.
Yes, which kind of sucks because she's really cute.
So, yeah, you're just waiting for that moment like, oh, God, what's going to happen?
Yeah, they do that on TV shows sometimes.
Yeah, it's kind of a trope, isn't it? Where
probably.
I'm thinking of that one movie like, with Will Ferrell.
Oh, Stranger Than Fiction?
Yeah, Stranger Than Fiction.
Yeah, it's like a way to build anticipation, I guess, or to kind of already instill a sense of uneasiness right at the beginning of the game.
Yeah, I can see that. So Miss Fortune, who's an 8-year-old girl, kind of playing with her toys, can hear the narrator as he talks about her.
Which he seems surprised by the way.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, you can hear me?
And so he has her go on a quest to find eternal happiness, which he's very vague about.
Yeah. But she's 8, so she thinks it's like a medal or something. He asks if she wants to play a game. And at the end of the game, if she wins, she gets eternal happiness. And basically, she wants to win eternal happiness for her mom.
Yeah.
Which makes you not want her to die even more now. Because you're like, oh, she's a sweet little girl.
Okay, so following his commands, Miss Fortune is guided through the streets of open fields. As you play, you find out more about Miss Fortune's sad and lonely life with her abusive parents, who are kind of like terrible people.
Yeah, super neglectful.
There's an anthropomorphic fox who Miss Fortune calls Benjamin, and the narrator really does not like this fox.
Oh no, the narrator hates this fox. He is very explicit about telling Miss Fortune to stay away from the fox. All foxes are evil, etc.
Yeah.
But Miss Fortune kind of has a crush on him, so she doesn't really listen to his rules very much.
Yeah, I mean,
not about Benjamin anyway.
Yeah, I mean, she thinks Benjamin's so sweet
and so cute and dreamy.
After finding an empty box with eternal happiness written on it, the voice convinces Miss Fortune that Benjamin has stolen it from her. And so they have to go out and pursue Benjamin by finding out where he lives and stuff. Like,
yeah, it's all part of the adventure of the day.
I just like the box that had eternal happiness written on it.
Yeah.
And so Miss Fortune, you know, she's still giving Benjamin kind of the benefit of the doubt. She's like, you know, maybe I can just convince him to share it with me.
Yeah. She's blinded by his cuteness.
Yeah. So as you're kind of further along in the story, Miss Fortune discovers a book that explains the narrator is an other dimensional being named Morgo. And Benjamin is evidently a protector who strives to protect children from Morgo, but is forbidden to interact with them directly, which is like why he always kind of runs away from her.
Yeah. You never see them talk to each other. Well, not back and forth anyways. Miss Fortune talks at him, but he just usually runs away.
So yeah, then when she finally escapes Morgo, she finds out that she sadly has actually already died.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a huge spoiler.
Yeah. Well, we already said we're going to spoil it.
And then Benjamin leads her through a portal where she encounters Death, who tells her that they had been expecting her. And that's pretty much the story.
So it's kind of like you have like a sixth sense moment at the end where it's like, I've been dead this whole time.
To me, it wasn't quite as revealing as Sixth Sense, or wasn't quite as
shocking.
Shocking.
Yeah.
I kind of had the impression, just like I said earlier, none of the adults are interacting with her. Well, there's this 8-year-old girl just walking around town, like past all these adults.
Yeah. Also, the narrator tells you pretty much up front to really not believe anything that you see. And so it's kind of like throughout the game, you're like, well, maybe this is just a part of this weird town. You know, maybe it's those masks, like the masks they're wearing. Maybe they can't see her. You know, it kind of invites a lot of open-endedness for you to, like, question things.
Yeah.
Which I think is cool.
There's also the part where you find a little hamster strip club or whatever.
Well, it's a whole, like, underground hamster community, right?
Yeah.
Like, they've got a strip club and some other stuff down there.
Yeah, but then when you go into the strip club, you're suddenly the size of the hamsters.
Yeah, exactly. So,
which is kind of weird.
Exactly. This whole game is kind of weird, but
there's a lot of weird stuff.
There's also like an alternate ending that you can get, which I don't know. It's slightly different, but it's not that different.
To me, it wasn't super satisfying. It was okay. Like, it added a little bit to the end, but it was just like an extra little added scene.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't really change anything that happened.
It makes it slightly more of a happy ending.
Yeah.
But by slightly, I'm talking literally like 2% happier.
Yeah, 1 or 2% happier.
So, Eric, do you want to talk about some of the stuff that you liked about the game?
Sure, yeah. So, Miss Fortune is a great character.
She's the best.
She's a little lady.
I'm a little lady.
As she likes to say. She's funny. She's weird, confident, and has an accent that doesn't make any sense, which I'm obsessed with.
Yeah.
It was important to the game that her character was good, considering the fact that there are really only two characters with any dialogue in the entire game, her and the voice Morgo.
Yeah.
So really no one else is really interacting with her. Besides
exactly.
The voice.
There are plenty of other characters, but yeah, you don't really interact with...
I mean, there's Benjamin,
that
but...
That many other people.
Yeah, Benjamin doesn't really have any dialogue or any lines or anything.
Yeah. Also, she's a lot smarter than the adults give her credit for, and even the voice gives her credit for. I think they did a good job of just kind of showing that kids are more aware and can pick up on things more than what you might think. Especially... you know, in her house with, like, the conditions that she's living in and stuff.
Yeah, that's true. So what's something you liked?
So this game has a really cool balance of being, like, cute and creepy and a little scary, but a little funny. And so, like, I think it's balanced out pretty well. And I think it's, like, a good game for, like, this time of the year when you want to play maybe something a little spookier. It's not scary by, like, horror movie means or anything.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I do like that it's not just, like, a cutesy game, you know? An only cutesy.
Yeah.
It's like you've got all these different things going on.
Yeah, I do like the combo. It's pretty good. And I do like the humor. It's a lot of weird fart jokes and dark humor.
Yeah, very dark humor.
Like, Miss Fortune will try to do some sweet ninja moves, but then she'll get stuck in a windowsill and start farting.
Yeah. Or she'll, like, eat candy out of a trash can, and then, like, she has a whole hallucination. Oh. Or, like, beaver dream or whatever you want to call it.
She'll, like, fall down and barf. And there's also, yeah, the weird hamster strip club, which was kind of awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, and then she has, like, a crush on this fox. Like... There's a lot of funny elements to it, for sure. And weird. Yeah, it's just, like, weird, cute, creepy, like, all these different things.
Yeah. So, I like that the choices that you make throughout the game get you alternative scenes and different dialogues and parts of the game. Like, depending on, you know, whether you take the rock or the unicorn as your companion.
Yeah.
You'll get different items for them and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
And you can trigger different scenes just by which ones you take.
Or if you take the fish or leave the fish.
Yeah, exactly.
I left the fish at the beginning of the game. I was so sad about it. I'm like, oh, I wish I had that fish.
Yeah, if you carry the fish all the way to the end, you get to summon the Kraken, which is only a short scene, but, you know, it is kind of a cool reward, I guess.
Yeah. I think, like, the art style is really unique.
Oh, yeah, I'll add that, too.
Yeah, it's, like, 2D art style, and I don't know, it just looks cool. Kind of gives me, like, Tim Burton vibes, but not, you know, it's not like a copy of Tim Burton or anything, but it kind of is like that cute, creepy vibe again, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Kind of like a classic cartoon, but
yeah,
kind of that Flash animation style from the 90s.
Yeah.
Like, I get that impression too.
Yeah.
Or early 2000s, actually more early 2000s than 90s.
Yeah, I agree.
One thing I enjoyed were the puzzles in the game, like trying to figure out which of the grays belong to the goldfish by reading just the descriptions and trying to like decipher like what they're meaning or what they're talking about with it, or figuring out the computer password by reading the code kind of upside down and backwards.
Yeah, it's like it gives you choices, but you also have some little puzzles you get to do. There's also like some mini games that you can play.
Yeah.
Like the whack-a-mole like the dance challenge. Did you do the dance challenge?
Yeah.
It's kind of like a Guitar Hero moment where you have to like, you know,
yeah,
or like a DDR moment.
Stony was a very good dancer. I think that was his name, right?
Yeah, Stony. Her pet rock,
yeah.
I also liked that this game breaks the fourth wall, like from the very, very beginning, like it breaks the fourth wall. And it can get kind of meta at times, like where Miss Fortune is almost aware that she's in a game. The game kind of messes with you, you know, it makes you second guess like what's reality and what's not. And I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah. I also thought that the ending was pretty good. It was sad, but I thought it was like well done.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. What do you think about the ending? Like, what do you think it means?
What do you mean?
Like, do you think, oh, she just passed over into, like, this is a metaphor for her crossing over into the afterlife or whatever?
Yeah, that's pretty much what I got.
Okay.
That's the way I took it.
All right. Yeah, me too. I just didn't know if maybe you got something different from it.
No, I just took it for the literal thing that happened. Yeah, it was sad, but it was, you know, it was good that she got to go with Benjamin at least, you know.
True. He's, like, supposed to be a protector, so.
Yeah.
Maybe her afterlife will be better than her real life. I hope.
We can only hope.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll find out.
She deserves some eternal happiness.
Maybe we'll find out in the multiverse of Kill Monday
Games.
It's
called the Ultraverse.
Ultraverse, sorry.
Yeah. Get it right.
My bad.
Also, I have something that could be, well, it's a pro and a con. I think it depends on what you're looking for. But like the gameplay is very simple for this. So if you're not someone who's very experienced and you just want a cool story, you don't really have to worry about having a lot of video game skills for this game. You're not really going to be doing anything like aiming or I don't know.
Yes, this isn't a hard
jumping.
This is a hardcore gamer game.
Yeah. But if you don't like games that are more laid back, then that could be a con for you. You know, it depends on what you like. I like both. I like to mix it up and play different kinds of games. So for me, it was a nice break from like, you know, God of War and stuff that I've been playing where it's very heavy on the skill, video game skills, you know? So this one was kind of more relaxed. I mean, I don't want to say relaxing because it's creepy, but you know, the gameplay was relaxing.
Yeah, you're more just sitting back enjoying the ride rather than worrying about like button timing and platforming or
having to kill any enemies or anything like that.
Yeah.
So do you want to talk about some of the stuff that you don't like, Eric?
Sure.
I'll let you go first.
Okay. So the game has you make a whole lot of choices and it makes them seem a lot more significant than they actually are. Everything is pretty much just funneled into a single ending.
Yeah.
You can get the extra scene in the ending by glittering all the objects, but, you know, it really doesn't change that much.
Yeah. So pretty much it's more about the different cutscenes that you see throughout the game with your choices more than, like, the ultimate ending.
Yeah. I just wanted it to be more like a choose-your-own-adventure type game where it was like, oh, if you go make this choice, you go on this wholly different branch, and it goes out in this totally different ending.
Mm-hmm.
That type thing, but yeah, it does all kind of come together to just the one thing at the end.
Yeah, it would be nice if you could like actually save Little Miss Fortune.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
And like, then she didn't have to die.
Yeah, having like a plethora of different types of endings, like some sad, some happy, some mysterious.
Yeah. Do you think you should have been able to die or get game over in this game? I guess I can't say die because, like, obviously you die.
I honestly had that as another con. I don't like that there's no way to lose. Even in that one scene that seems time sensitive where, like, Miss Fortune gets her foot stuck.
And the hand slowly coming at her, slowly
stretching across the screen, and you have this bar where you have to click this button to get her out in time. If you just sit there and don't press any buttons, the hand will just eventually pause and wait for you.
Oh, wow. So it's foolproof, basically. Yeah.
You literally cannot try to lose this game.
It's more kind of like reading a book,
yeah.
You know, because you have certain things that are already set to happen and the ending is already set. It's just like some bonus stuff or some alternate scenes that you may or may not see.
Yeah, you do get alternative scenes, which is nice.
But yeah, I definitely agree. Like, they could have branched it out more and, like, have your choices, like, made more of a difference.
What's something you didn't like?
So I think some of the more heavy moments in this game, they weren't really, like, justified to me. So, like, when she walks in the house and finds the man that had committed suicide.
Yeah.
Like, what is the point of that other than maybe just trying to be a little more shocking or bring a little more creepiness to it? Like,
yeah, I thought that's what they were going for.
Well, I was thinking also maybe it's because, like, there was a kid ghost in that scene too. So I'm like, maybe he found out his son died.
Yeah.
And then maybe that's why he did that to himself.
I mean, the missing children might be why this whole town is kind of down. You were talking about that earlier.
But yeah, I guess it wasn't pointless, but I guess it was just kind of like some stuff seemed like maybe it was there for a shocking moment instead of like serving the story.
Yeah,
100%.
I agree. There is some shocking stuff in this game that is just feels a little bit out of place. Like, there is that one scene with the cow pooping on the baby cow that was just like, why did they add this in here?
Yeah. I don't know. They just wanted a creepy poop joke or something.
It wasn't even creepy. It was just weird. It was just like, all right, I guess that was kind of funny. I don't know. I kind of like it, and I don't know. Some of it seemed out of place, but
yeah.
I know what you're saying. Some of the heavy stuff also felt a little out of place or a little bit too far. Well, I didn't say this earlier, but I did like the puzzles that were there, but I wanted more of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wanted more problem solving, more puzzles.
Maybe a little more difficulty.
I wanted an inventory system really bad.
Yeah.
I wanted the items that you're picking up to have more significance than just like, oh, here's this item. And it shows it to you. And then it shows you puts it away.
Yeah.
It shows you putting it away, but you can never look at it or do anything with it.
Yeah.
And you can pull some, like the stone that goes into the other stone, the little slab or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of just automatic, you know.
True. I accidentally left mine at the first stop, and then I couldn't read the second one. I mean, I read it the first play through, so it was like I wasn't really missing out on that much, but I was like, oh, crap. I guess I forgot to grab that.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was no way to look and see if you did or not because there was no inventory system. So.
Exactly.
Also, this game is $20, and I hate to say it, but I don't think it's really worth $20. It's a really short game. I mean, you could play through this thing in like 2.5 hours if you're really trucking along.
Yeah, I would say it's between 2 and 4 hours.
Yeah, I played it in like 2 days, and like I was really hoping it would have been a little longer than that for $20. And from what I hear, or from what I read in some of the reviews for the game from people that also played the Fran Bo games, that game is supposed to be better than this one, and it's cheaper than this one.
Oh, okay.
So
maybe start with Fran Bo.
Yeah.
And then wait for Little Miss Fortune to go on sale.
Yeah, and it does go on sale. Sometimes I saw it on sale. I think it was on sale on the Switch for like $10 not that long ago.
I'd pay $10 for it.
Yeah, $10. I think that's fair. $20, although it's still not a lot, but like for 2 days worth of gaming, maybe, or one session, if you really get into the story, like that's kind of steep. That's more than going to a movie or anything else.
Yeah, I agree. And one of the other, just to add on to that, it doesn't have a whole lot of replay value because it does all kind of funnel into one ending.
True.
I feel one thing they could have done to help the replay value is by having alternative endings or, you know, branching story paths. I mean, you get a little bit of branching in the story, but they all come back together. It will like branch out for just like one little scene or two, and then it'll come back to the main bit.
Yeah. So I feel like after two playthroughs, you've probably seen everything.
Yeah.
They only give you two choices.
Yeah. In some cases, you can get three different, like I know the fish, you can either not take the fish, feed it to the one seagull dude, or then keep it to the end of the game and feed it to the kraken. So there are some things that like you're not going to see every scene in two playthroughs, but. Yeah, for most of it, it was just making the opposite choice that I made the last time and seeing like, oh, okay.
If you remember.
Yeah, this is what happens if I would have picked the other thing.
Because I played this when it came out 2020. So it's been a couple years and I didn't remember all the choices made.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And I was trying my best to make the opposite one. But I was like, I really don't know what I picked. This was 2 years ago. I played many a video game since then. So, Eric, do you have any strategy for this game? What about for your initial playthrough?
So, before I knew how to get the good ending, I was definitely trying to make choices I thought would trigger the good ending.
So, pretty much the only thing you can do, throw glitter on stuff.
Like, trying to take objects, keep objects, like keeping the fish. Or trying to trigger a certain scene with it, or like, I don't know, stuff like that. I don't think my choices were all that great, but...
I mean, a lot of the choices, it's not like there's... a good or bad one, you know?
Yeah.
Like there's one where it's like, do you want to play with the dog or do you want to set the dog free? Well, it's like both of those seem pretty equal to me. It's not like one's bad and one's good.
Yeah. I just feel like I was misled at the beginning because I thought these choices would all like be way more significant towards the end.
Well, and the voice does say you make choices and there's only consequences.
Yeah. It makes it seem like, okay, is there a scale going on in the background that's measuring the karma of these choices or something? And that's going to like determine the ending.
I just assume everything was going to still end up bad because he said only consequences, not, you know, what's the opposite of consequences, benefits or whatever.
I mean, yeah,
it's another thing. They try to make you think in this game, man. How dare they?
What about strategy you had?
So I think you should just have fun. That's always my strategy.
Nikki's number one strategy for every single video game.
I'm not like other gamers. I'm a cool gamer.
Nikki thinks you should just have fun.
And also throw glitter on everything, which is also a part of having fun.
Yeah, I had that too.
There's not really a lot of strategy you can have, like, in this game. Come on.
You do have infinite glitter, so.
Why not throw it everywhere?
Yeah, throw it everywhere.
That's what I did. I wish it would have like came in handy more, but whatever.
You can tell like if you're supposed to glitter something, it will have like kind of a sparkle to it, but it's not always super obvious. So yeah, glitter everything.
Yeah, the first time I played it, I did not get the happy ending, but the second time I played it, I did get the happy ending.
First time I played, I got 14 out of the 16 objects, so I missed two of them.
Dang.
And then I'm just like, I'll just look up a guide. Whatever.
Just cheating on everything today.
I told you I was going to do it.
Cheater, cheater. Cheater, cheater. So, do you have anything for the future?
So, I didn't find anything new from Kill Monday Games. They do seem to indicate on their Twitter that they are working on a new immersive game, but I couldn't find anything specific talking about it.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I found, too. On Natalia's Twitter, it says that she's in the bio. It says writing a new game. So like she's obviously gonna be the writer of this game. I'm gonna assume it's gonna be in the Ultraverse.
It's gotta be, right?
Storyline, you know? So
we gotta have that big Ultraverse movie at the end, or game at the end.
It's gonna be Miss Fortune versus Franbo versus whoever these new characters are. They have done like some free games over the years and stuff, but Nothing new.
Are those part of the Ultraverse?
No. Like,
no.
Like one that was like they did for charity, for like a water charity. And it was like all the sales for that game went to this one charity.
Oh, cool.
And they had like a few little free games on their website. But Franbo and Little Misfortune is the only like major games I guess they've made, or like for profit games.
Gotcha.
So, Eric, we haven't even talked about this yet. But there was a challenge for you to get the happy / true ending.
Did you
get that?
I think I already did mention that I did cheat to glitter all the things.
Oh, yeah, you did say that.
Yeah, I got it. I mean,
you're just like cheating all over the place today. You're just like cheating with the year, cheating with the glitter, looking things up.
That's two.
And then cheating by telling people you've completed the challenge before we're supposed to talk about it. Cheater.
That's not really cheating, that last one. But the other two may. But I also said I was going to do that ahead of time. So.
Mm-hmm.
And sure. Also, this is kind of a short game, so mm-hmm. I didn't want to have to replay it like 4 or 5 times just mm-hmm. to glitter everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't have a lot of replayability.
Whatever. All right, so you did get it. Blah, blah, blah. Not rapping. Boo. I would have loved to hear a little Miss Fortune rap. That would have been awesome.
Actually, that would have been fun.
Yeah. Should have just did it anyway.
Oh, well.
So, Eric, do you want to share the good news?
Yeah, so we're going to have a very special guest for our next episode.
Oh, yeah. And also, our next episode is our last episode of the season.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I forgot about that.
End of the season episode.
So our season finale is next episode. And we have a guest, a very awesome guest named DJ.
Yeah, and we were on his...
And we call him Dom, but I think everyone else calls him DJ.
Everyone else calls him DJ, we call him Dom. But we were on his podcast...
like a few months ago.
Yeah, a few months ago.
It's called the Hey DJ Show, and he does sort of like interview style podcast / video podcast, I guess you would call it, for YouTube.
Yeah.
And we were guests on there, and we asked him then and there if he would be on our podcast, and he said yes. So we called him up, and we're like, hey, remember when you said that thing? That's like a verbal contract. You better not break it.
So I'm curious what game he picked. I think he said during our podcast that his favorite game was Majora's Mask.
During our interview.
Yeah, during the interview.
Yeah. And he likes the Batman games. I know that. So.
Yeah. So why don't you read the email and find out. All right.
Let me open it up.
Find out what he picked.
Click, clack, click, clack, click. Hey, guys. The game I choose is Final Fantasy VII for PlayStation 1. And your challenge is for you to beat the game with the 2 optional characters unlocked.
Ooh, nice.
So is that just beating the game, or do you have to, is there something special you have to do to unlock these characters?
Yeah, there's something special you have to do. Okay. But you can do it, I think, at any time while you're playing it.
Gotcha.
Well, once you get past the first city.
Okay.
But personally, this is one of my favorite games of all time.
Yeah, so. I know you've already played it. You've already beaten it.
I'm pumped. I love this game. This is.
I always hear about this game. Like, it's one of those that people talk about all the time. Specifically, Final Fantasy VII. Even though, isn't there like 14 of them, or maybe more?
More, yeah, more than that.
There's like a million of them. So.
I will say this is a JRPG, which means it's going to be a bit of a grind.
Let's grind it up, baby. Let's make some ground beef.
All right.
All right. Well, let's see if we can do this. Well, it sounds like Eric should be able to, but the real question is, will I be able to?
That is the real question. Does Nikki have the attention span to make it through this game?
Listen to our next episode to find out.
Yep. We're going from like a 3-hour game to 30-hour game.
It's all about balance, right?
Yeah.
All right. Anyways, we'll see you guys next time.
Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye.
As always, if you like our episode, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or rate us on Spotify. And we would love to know if you played Little Miss Fortune, what did you think about the game? Or have you played any other games by Kill Monday? Let us know on Instagram at pressanybutton_podcast. See you next time. Bye.